Well, good morning, everybody. Job 16:21. Hear the words of this scripture. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbors. This is the scripture that unites we as Parkview Prayer Partners. We are committed to interceding with God for our pastor, for our church, and for lost souls. And so I want to welcome you, those who are here in the sanctuary and those who are watching by live stream. I'm honored to be a part of this time of Tuesday training and prayer with you. I'm looking forward to this day. We've got a tremendous opportunity and a great lesson in prayer that comes from the Word of God. I want us to get right into today's lesson as we take another look at the overall topic, recognizing and eliminating personal prayer killers in our lives. We have been studying over the past several weeks prayer killers that can come between our prayer and God's ear. And we have one by one been identifying what are those things that we need to recognize and remove from our lives. Today's prayer killer is wrong motives. Wrong motives. I want to share a story that kind of it makes me chuckle when I recount it, but it is a great way to illustrate wrong motives in prayer. There was a pastor who was taking a walk one day in a neighborhood. It was a beautiful neighborhood, fine Victorian houses lined the beautiful city street. And as he walked along, he noticed on the porch of one of those homes, a little boy at the door of the home, jumping as hard and as high as he could to try and reach the doorbell. And as the pastor watched the little boy repeatedly jumping up and unsuccessfully attempting to reach the doorbell, the pastor said, "Well, I'll just go help him." So he walks up the steps, climbs up onto the porch, and he lifts the little boy so that the little boy can ring the doorbell. Well, the doorbell is rung many times. And now the pastor sets the little boy down on the porch, and he looks at the boy and smiles, and he asks this question, "Well, what now?" And the little boy said, "Now we run like crazy." The pastor had misinterpreted the little boy's motive for trying to ring that doorbell. And you know what? We can sometimes misinterpret motives, can't we? But here's one thing that's not ever misinterpreted. God never misinterprets our motives when we approach Him in prayer. Today we want to talk about the idea that what we are praying for is not only important, but why we are praying for it. In other words, our motives in prayer are important in keeping the prayer connection between us and God clear and making our prayers effective. So I want to call your attention to a scripture that talks about our motives in James chapter 4. We're going to read verse number 3. In James chapter 4, verse number 3, we're going to read about what the Word of God has to teach us about wrong motives in prayer. James writes, and I quote, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." James puts his finger right on the prayer killer of wrong motives with those words. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Friends, when we go to the Lord in prayer as prayer partners, we need to know why we are asking for what we are asking. We need to be careful not to have the wrong motives for our prayers to God. Now, that triggers this question in my mind, and maybe we can spend some time together answering it in the rest of this training time. If wrong motives prevent our prayers from reaching God, maybe we would be wise to ask, well, what are some of the right motives for our prayers? In other words, what motives please God? What motives keep our prayer connection strong and open with our Heavenly Father? And so what I thought we'd do this morning is take a look at one whose prayer I know was absolutely on target as far as motives are concerned. I'm speaking about the motives that Jesus Christ Himself had in His heart as He prayed. And we're going to look at one of His prayers in John chapter 17. I encourage you to go there because we're going to lift out several excerpts from His prayer in John 17 this morning. They identify five proper motives that please God as we pray. Five proper motives that always will please our Heavenly Father and keep the prayer connection strong. Let's look at what Jesus was praying for here, and let's notice His motive. What was He asking for? That will give us an insight into His motives. If you will look with me into John chapter 17, I want to call your attention to one of the statements in Jesus' prayer to His Heavenly Father. In John 17, verse 22, Jesus is praying to the Father, and as He prays, He's talking about what He's been doing while here on earth, and in particular, what He has been trying to accomplish with the disciples that God had entrusted to Him. And so here we read in John 17, 22, Jesus' own prayer, quote, "I have given them the glory that You gave Me." As Jesus was praying to His Heavenly Father, He said to His Heavenly Father, "Father, I have given My disciples the glory that You gave Me." From those words, can we not agree that one of the motives that I believe pleases God and that He would have us pray for is this, that we as God's disciples, we as followers of God, we as prayer partners might sense the glory of God. He said, "I have given them the glory that you gave Me." Y'all, Jesus was very much interested that those men would experience and receive and participate in the glory of God. They did see the glory of God. They saw the glory of God in His teaching. They saw the glory of God in His healings. They saw the glory of God as He exercised power over nature. They saw glory everywhere they turned. And that's why at the end of His time here on earth, Jesus could say, "I gave them the glory that You gave Me." Y'all, whenever we are focused on God's glory being imparted to the people around us, we're praying in the will of God. We're praying with the right motive. I believe one of the great things that we can pray for here at Parkview Church of God is for the glory of God to be sensed by everyone in this church family. That makes sense, doesn't it? You know, when we come in here every Sunday morning, I hope that we're praying in our spirits. I know we're praying prior to service as groups, but as we participate in those prayers and as we're seated in this room, I hope that we never lose sight that one of the great motives for our prayers on a Sunday in the worship is that the glory of God will be revealed. When the glory of God is revealed, when it's experienced, good things will happen. So that's one of the motives that Jesus had when he was praying, that the glory of God would come. Now, there's a second motivation, and it's found in verse 8, same chapter, chapter 17, verse number 8, where we read another excerpt from Jesus' prayer. I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. I want to repeat that. These are Jesus' words to the Father as he talks about what he has done with the disciples. He said, I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Another great motive for prayer is that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, would pray that we all will follow the Word of God. Jesus was very, very intentional that they would know the Word of God, that they would practice the Word of God, that they would live the Word of God. That's why he could say, I gave them the word you gave me. We cannot pray a better prayer than that the Word of God would be active, understood, obeyed, and lived out in this church. Does that make sense? That's a huge motive. It's a powerful motive. And it's a motive that God is pleased with. You know, we're talking about praying with right motives. Well, if we're praying for the glory of God to be revealed, and if we're praying for the Word of God to be obeyed, heard, understood, and obeyed, we're praying with a motive that pleases God and is certain to be answered. Now let's look at a third excerpt from Jesus' prayer and consider another motivation behind his prayer. In verse 21, John 17, 21, he also prayed, quote, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. A third powerful motive for our prayers is that we be united in the love of God. That's what Jesus prayed for, that all of them may be one. That's unity. That's a united group of followers. Friends, that motivation pleases God. That motivation is heard by God. That motivation will be answered by our God because it's a motive in keeping with his perfect will. All right, let's move to a fourth motivation that we pick up from the words of Jesus' prayer in John 17. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 18. Jesus said at that point in the prayer, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Let's take that in again. He said to his Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them, the disciples, into the world. Another great motive for prayer arises out of that excerpt in Jesus' own words. He was praying for his followers then and for his followers now, that the mission of God would be accomplished, that the mission of God would be accomplished. What was the mission? Well, he said, I have sent them into the world. Remember the Great Commission? Go, it says, to all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And yes, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. That's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's the mission of God, that we go, that we baptize, that we teach, so that God's mission is accomplished in the world. And that's what Jesus was praying for. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. If we can pray in this prayer partner group that the mission of God will be carried out here at Parkview, here in our hearts and as a family of God, we're praying with the right motive. I want to identify one more and a final motive this morning that arises from the prayer of Jesus Christ. If you go to verse number 13, Jesus prays in John 17, 13, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." Notice that phrase, what he was asking, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. You see, it's a pleasing motive when God's people pray that everyone in the church experience the joy of the Lord, that everyone in the church experience the joy of the Lord. These are five powerful motives that Jesus wants us to pray for. He wants us to pray that we might see the glory of God. That's the first motive. Second, that we might accept the Word of God. That's the second motive. Third, that we might unite as the family of God. And then fourth, that we might fulfill the mission of God. And finally, the final motive, that we might experience the joy of God. Now, what is the joy of God? How do we define that? How do we explain that? How do we describe that? What is the joy of God? Here's what I know. If we're praying and giving ourselves to the idea that everyone around us will see God's glory, and everyone around us will accept God's word, starting with us, and everyone around us will unite with us around the purposes of God for this church, and everyone around us will be committed to fulfilling the mission of God through this church, guess what's going to come automatically? We're going to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And see, that's the kind of motivations that Jesus was praying for and praying with. And guess what? The Father heard him, because his ministry still is ongoing in the world today, some 2,000 years later. And ultimately, it will be fulfilled when he returns. Y'all, I don't know about you, but motivations like that sometimes are forgotten if we're not careful when we bow for prayer. I do not ever want to discourage anybody from speaking about anything with the Lord that he has put on their heart. But sometimes I think we need to be reminded that there are some motivations that are higher than just the immediacy of some situation in our personal lives. There are bigger things that God wants us to pray for. And so as leaders in this church, in the prayer partner movement, and that's what you are the leaders. As we pray, let's pray not only for the day-to-day simple and very important motivations that challenge us and spur us on, but let's ask God to give us even stronger motives, bigger motives that are outside of ourselves. I say them again. Let's pray that others see the glory of God here at Parkview. Let's pray that others accept the Word of God here at Parkview. Let's pray that people all around this congregation unite as the family of God at Parkview. Let's pray that we fulfill the mission of God at Parkview. And let's pray that everyone, as we carry out those motivations, experience the joy of God. So how do we do that? How do we put that into practice? Let's apply it. I want to give you, as our prayer partner team, you're committed. You wouldn't be here on this Tuesday morning. You wouldn't be watching by live stream. You wouldn't even be listening to this audio recording unless you were committed already to prayer. So let's take on an assignment, okay? In about 3.5 weeks, okay, Parkview Church of God is going to gather in this room on Easter weekend, April 3rd and April 4th. And on April 3rd and on April 4th, the story of Jesus Christ's passion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, will be expressed and portrayed right here on this platform. When that time comes, whether it's in the Saturday night performance or in the Sunday night the Sunday morning presentation, let's pray for these five things to happen. That the glory of God fills this sanctuary. That makes sense? That the Word of God will go forth from this platform. We're going to have people presenting the Word of God through dramatic activity. There will be disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. There will be people portraying this story of Jesus appearing to two disciples after the resurrection. And every word of the drama is literally out of the Bible. We're not presenting something that I conjured up or some other writer conjured up. We're presenting the Word of God verbally, verbatim. Let's pray that as the Word of God goes out from these actors on this stage, that the Word of God will be heard, accepted, and followed by those who are. Thirdly, let's pray that on April 3 and 4, this congregation is absolutely united around this purpose. Whether you're playing a piano, singing at that platform, presenting in drama form the story, or out here in the pew, or back there as an usher, or up in our technology area, you know, working behind the scenes or behind a camera or helping park cars outside or even inviting people to this event. Let's pray that we will work as one team. I believe if we're praying for that kind of unity of purpose, I believe God will hear that prayer. And I believe great things could happen. Let's also pray that on April 3 and 4, we will be about fulfilling the mission of God. We will actually reach out to this community, and we will be attempting to reach people and give people an opportunity to say yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. During this presentation, I will present the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, in the end of the book of Luke, well, I'm just going to go there. I want you to hear these words. In Luke chapter 24, I want you to hear what Jesus said, because this is what we're going to challenge everyone who comes or hears on live stream. As you hear Jesus speak at the end of this presentation, look at Luke 24, verse 44. Let me get to that. It's not verse 44. It is verse 46. He told them, quote, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day," verse 47, "and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations." Friends, I'm going to pose to the people in that room that morning the fact that Jesus died and the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, demonstrating that he was the one promised by God. But that isn't just a historical fact to be acknowledged. It is a gospel message to be acted on. What is the action that calls us to. It calls us to repentance. And it calls us to experience the forgiveness that he achieved for us through that death and through that resurrection. I'm praying that as we point out the very words of Christ that says, and repentance and forgiveness will be preached. I'm going to try and preach that. And I'm going to ask the people here, have you repented? Have you experienced his forgiveness? This is what this is all about. It's not just to entertain. It's to help you find the forgiveness that gives you a new life and a purpose here on earth. Pray that that mission will be achieved. That's what we're trying to do. It's the mission. Go and make disciples. You have to tell them the gospel, and they have to respond. I want us as prayer partners to pray that that message of the gospel of Christ will be fulfilled in this room in the hearts of many people who may have never responded. And for those that are here that have become asleep spiritually, that they will be awakened by that gospel. Finally, I'm asking you to join me in praying that on that Easter weekend, the joy of the Lord fills this room. It just fills this room because the glory of God is evident. The Word of God is presented. The people of God are united. And the mission of God is being carried out. You know what I believe with all my heart? When those things happen on Easter weekend, there's going to be a joy in every one of our hearts. You can't see those things happening without the joy of God filling your heart. I believe these are the motives that we could unite around as prayer partners. Will you help me? I'm just curious. Would you be joining me in praying for those kind of motivations as prayer partners? Thank you for that. I'm so excited. I believe that we can start right now. And here's how we're going to start. Every Tuesday, starting with this day, we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for those five motivations. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin the prayer, and then during the week, I want you to join me in repeating the prayer. In fact, I'm going to back up. I'm going to say, let's pray responsively right now. Let's just all unite right now around those five motivations. It just hit me. Why wait? Let's just do it together. I'm going to pray a phrase, and I want you to repeat that phrase back to me, or rather, up to God. And whether you're watching this on live stream or listening this by audio recording later on, as I pray, I hope that you will respond and join in the prayer, because we are committed to pray with the right motives for Parkview and for what God wants to do here. So may we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let's repeat it back. We thank you for your teaching in the book of James. You teach us to pray with right motives. And so today, as prayer partners, we pray. We pray that on Easter weekend and every weekend, the people will experience the glory of God. We pray that the people will accept and apply the Word of God. We pray that we will unite as the family of God. We pray that we will fulfill the mission of God. And we pray that we will experience the joy of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That's our first approach to our Heavenly Father as we apply this lesson to Parkview, and in particular to our Easter presentation. By the way, the title of that presentation is On the Road to Emmaus, an Easter worship experience. It's based on the book of Luke, chapter 23 and 24. And so I want us to be praying every Tuesday. And if you want to pray in between times, do it. But without fail, as a group of prayer partners, we've got to commit ourselves to gather right back here or watch on that presentation on live stream and pray again for these five things to take place at Parkview Church of God. I want to thank you for your attention, and I want us to now close as we pray in unison that final prayer that we pray every week from Psalm chapter 139. May we pray together. May the words of my mouth... I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. I got another psalm. That was Psalm 19. Go to Psalm 139 with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you so much for your participation. God bless you. And we'll be back next week, same time.